Unit 38, that's a 2-1, the TAC 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you learn a little bit about us, the men and women of the Newport News Police Department. Hello, Melissa. Good to see you as always.
Hey, Cap. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. What about you?
Good. I can't complain.
Right, we got a good show today.
Yeah, we really do. We've got some very interesting guests here with us today. I would just say, hey, Sergeant Hewling, but I don't think either one of y'all know exactly who I'm talking to.
That's right.
You guys want to introduce yourselves to our viewers?
Sure. I am Sergeant Jamie Hewling. With the Newport News Police Department, obviously, and I'm stationed at North Precinct on Watch 1A.
All right.
And I'm Sergeant Aaron Hewling. Been here for about 8 years, and I'm stationed at Central Precinct, Watch 3, midnight shift.
Okay.
I'm the older one.
Yeah. Let's clarify that for the viewers, right?
Just in case we couldn't tell which one was which.
Yeah.
So you guys are father and son?
Yes.
Yes.
Very cool. Very.
Both sergeants?
Yes.
Wow, incredible. Oh, yeah. Well, let's start with, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, wow. Started off joining the military when I was very young, 17. When I was 10 years old, somebody introduced me to a comic book called Sergeant Rock, which is about a redheaded sergeant in Vietnam. And from there, I wanted to join the Army. And my father thought maybe I broke the cycle because he was third-generation police officer. And but when I retired, I became fourth generation police officer and started out as auxiliary. Matter of fact, you were the one that talked me into joining auxiliary and went to the auxiliary academy in 2000 and came full time in 2003.
So you were in the military prior to coming on board with us.
Yes, 20 years.
Did you retire? Okay, so you retired.
Yes, sir.
So you saw the world.
Yes.
Whereabouts?
A little bit of everywhere.
Did you?
And I've been to several skirmishes and... It was my trip to Central America that got me interested in the drug trade. And we were down there doing counter drugs, did two tours in Central America doing counter drug stuff. And it was that that got me interested in drugs and led me to OCD.
And yeah, because later you worked with organized crime.
Yes.
So, and we're going to get into that hopefully in a little bit. But how about you introduce yourself?
Yep. Again, I'm Aaron Hewling. I've been with the department for about 8 years. Before that, I went to Thomas Nelson locally and then transferred over to Virginia Commonwealth University, where I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and also got a minor in Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. While at school, I also, you know, took an Arabic class where I actually got really interested in the Arabic language and culture and kind of built upon that over the years as well, and then joined the department right after graduation and been here ever since.
So, Jamie, when did you come on board with us?
Auxiliary was May of 2000. Full-time was June 16, 2003.
So how many years do you have?
I got 20, coming up on 21. Total of, it's going to be 24 in May if you count the auxiliary.
Aaron?
8 years in June 1st. So wow. I joined June 1st, 2016.
Wow. And so prior to coming to the police department, did you do anything else or straight away from college?
While in college, I actually, I think mostly because of the Arabic portion of what I was studying, I got the opportunity to be an intern for the DEA for a bit, where I got to, you know, learn about different surveillance, actually do some surveillance from in a vehicle, CCTV, as well as Title III phone tap kind of stuff.
Fascinating.
So, well, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of it actually before that was learning about the police department from him, so I kind of knew the direction where I was going to go. So, but employment-wise, I actually worked at McDonald's for about a couple years before joining the police department, and that was while I was in college.
Like many of us have.
Oh, yeah.
Many of us
I was a burger flipper.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
So, Aaron, what was that like for you growing up in a household that was a police household, obviously, and then making the decision? Like, talk a little bit about how you made that decision to kind of jump into law enforcement after watching your dad do it for so many years.
That decision, it for me, it was kind of easy because most of my life, he's been a police officer. Before that, he was military and, you know, just doing a whole bunch of stuff. But really, I got to have a lot of stories, and every dinner was a new story, a new, you know, a foot pursuit or, you know, a really cool arrest or, you know, tackling somebody or going to, you know, going to a house to deliver food to a needy family and different things like that. that kind of, it just became natural for me. Like, that's something that sounds like a lot of fun. Wow. Something I really want to do.
Now, when you were contemplating mm-hmm. Joining the police department, did you approach your pops and say, hey, look, I got to talk to you for a second?
Yes. In fact, that's kind of funny because he was the easier part of that. Going to talk to him about doing that. Because, in fact.
So mom was a little harder to convince, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can understand that.
We devised a plan, though, because.
There was a whole plan, huh?
Yes, because mom was against the military and against the police department. Wanted him to go off and do something else.
Right.
And so I was all for it, excited he wanted to follow in the footsteps and become fifth generation. And so I told him, look, she's going to be a hard sell. So when you go to her and she tells you no, what she's going to, just tell her that you're going to join the Army. And she was all about the police department.
So at least, right, at least she gets to keep you at home.
Exactly.
You know, you don't.
Exactly.
She's not seeing you off. So, Jamie, what kind of advice, other than the mom section of this, what kind of advice did you give him coming up to being a fifth generation officer in your family?
When I was young, joining the Army, I got some of the best advice from a neighbor who was a general in the Army, and I've kept this advice with me, and I shared it with him. Is when he starts the police department, goes to the academy, the rules are: don't be first, don't be last, don't be seen. And as long as if you try to stay out in front, you're competing with everybody. If you're last, you're that guy. And if you're constantly being seen, you're causing the push-ups. So don't be first, don't be last, don't be seen.
Wow.
Yep.
Now, Jamie, you've been with the department, obviously, over 20 years. So you've worked in different assignments. Tell us a little bit about those assignments.
Started out in uniform patrol, which I think is fabulous. I love patrol. And went from there. A captain came to me and said that I'd be a good fit for OCD. And so I tailored my investigations in that direction and ended up going to HIP.
So for clarification, OCD is Organized Crime Division.
Organized Crime Division.
HIP is?
Is High Impact Patrol.
Got it.
And which OCD doesn't exist anymore. It's now Special Investigation Division.
Right.
So I got selected in late 08, early 09 to go to OCD. And I wasn't there very long before the dog handler that was there decided to retire. And out of the blue, he tells me that it'd be a good fit for K-9. I should put in for it. And I hadn't even thought about it up to then. Got selected for K-9, went to become a narcotics K-9 handler. My very first day, you got to eat a dog bone when you graduate dog school, if y'all don't know that.
I'm sure that was years ago.
Oh, it still exists. You got to eat a milk bone.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I was in the process of eating my milk bone when I got a call from a task force officer who needed a narcotics dog. And so day one, I was just minutes into this.
Yeah, hit the ground running.
Yes.
Wow.
And
how about that for on-the-job training, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
So from there, you transitioned eventually to becoming a sergeant?
Yeah.
Or did you go back to the road?
No, actually, somewhere around 2018, went back to the road, still in K-9, and then went from there to, I became a corporal and got transferred to North Precinct.
Okay.
At midnight, and then had a really good leadership team, led me the right way. I ended up making sergeant, and I moved to an empty slot on day shift.
So your previous career in the military, obviously doing drug work, helped you when you became an organized crime detective?
Yes.
Tremendously, I imagine.
Yes, very much so.
Wow. Now, what about your career? What have you done? Where have you been?
So I've mostly spent my career downtown in South Precinct. Let's see. I've been on every shift, but in South Precinct, it was mostly evening shift and day shift. Then when I'm in between there, I went to Central Midnight Shift for a bit. Then I moved back to downtown and went to day shift there. While downtown, I became an FTO and eventually a master police officer. And it was actually the process of going through the master police officer testing that they were doing the sergeant process concurrently. And
so you applied.
I applied for that as well. So
now FTO, for clarification, is field training officer. That's where you train new officers one-on-one.
Yes. Actually, that's probably the most fun I've had on the department so far. It's actually training others to do the job.
I agree. I served as an FTO as well. I think, Melissa, you did it. And it's probably one of the most gratifying positions because you have so much influence over that individual. Because realistically, they're in their formative years or formative months of law enforcement.
Oh, yes.
And you have that one-on-one contact because you're in that car or on the road with them at all times.
Keeps
right?
you on your toes,
it really
doesn't
does.
It? You have to know your stuff to be an FTO.
You quickly realize what you don't know.
Right.
It forces you to learn so you can teach others.
That's right. Yep.
Absolutely. So I guess this conversation begs the question, have you ever worked together on something in the police department?
Oh, my God. You want to tell it? You want me to?
I'll tell it. All okay. right. So this is actually kind of funny because that was one of the most stressful kind of ideas for us, or at least for me. I'm not sure about him. But so I'm fifth generation law enforcement. Back with the first and second generation in our family, they actually worked together as well. I believe that was in Georgia?
Harris County, Georgia.
Harris County, Georgia. So the very last time that they worked together was actually going after a moonshiner, and that ended in a shootout, a big shootout.
Okay.
And so hearing that and realizing, oh, that's the last time. And that was actually a father and son as well. So hearing that was the last time Healings worked together, I was kind of worried about that first time that we might actually end up working together.
Right. What could happen, though?
Right.
What's the worst like, that could happen?
Clearly, that is not something that we need.
Right. Exactly. Well, didn't work out. I mean, it wasn't as bad as that, but it right. definitely was very interesting because it was a just normal traffic stop. I believe the individual had narcotics in the vehicle. He was showing all sorts of different signs. There was stuff wrong with the vehicle. He was in canine at the time, and so went ahead and, you know, requested a canine be on the way, you know, talking with this guy, and he ends up getting there, and dog alerts to the vehicle, and that's when everything starts going, like, tumbling out of...
Kind of spiraling out of control a little bit.
Pretty much. You want to... talk about that part after your dog alerts.
Yeah, so my dog alerted and I put him back in the truck. And actually, I'm putting him back in the truck when they're getting him out, the suspect out of the car. And this guy gets out of the car and he just continues to get out of the car. And he just grows bigger and bigger bigger. And I'm just like looking at him like, wow. And so just about the time I'm ready to shut the door to the kennel, the fight starts. And so it quickly turns into a foot pursuit. I join in, and he's heading toward this very large, tall fence. And I'm sitting there calculating me getting over that fence versus me running to the gate. So I ran to the gate, which was perfect because he changed directions and ran right to me. And we pretty much sandwiched him. I hit him from the front. He hit him from the back. And then I realized that I had ruptured my biceps in the tackle. And then the stressful part came is who's going to call mom and tell mom that one of us is going to the hospital.
Listen, not the chief, not the sergeant on duty. We're not worried about none of that. We're worried about mom.
Yep. Yeah.
At least you've got your priorities straight. I love it.
And then, of course, the phone call happened and the ever horrible word comes out of my mouth. I'm fine.
Sure.
So that's a funny thing in our family because if the first thing that somebody says over the phone is, I'm fine, nothing's fine.
They're not.
Nothing at all.
They're not, in fact, fine at all,
are they? Nope.
So now that you've both been in it in a while, I guess it poses the question, if you had the opportunity, would you work together?
Well, can I go back to the last question real quick?
Sure.
And it'll probably play into what your next question. That traffic stop ended up going to federal court.
Wow.
And so we appear in federal court in front of Judge Dumar. And he's looking at the witness list and he goes, is this a typo? Who's who? And he goes, are there two Healings? And he goes, what's the relationship? I said, I'm father, he's son. And he looks at me and goes, the court will now recognize you, pointing at him, as Officer Healing. and we'll recognize you as Elder Hewling.
Yep.
So I am printed in a case as Elder Hewling.
Oh my That's God. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Elder.
Fascinating.
So that, to go into the next question was, would we consider working sure. together? Oh, definitely.
No, absolutely. We actually, there's a program up in North Precinct right now that allows officers on their time off to go to different schools and kind of mentor different children, interact with the children, and just kind of show them that, you know, police officers aren't just robots. There's sure. not always bad interactions with them. So once in a while, we actually try and meet at the same schools to do that kind of thing, because to see like the eyes wide open and the smiles when I'm talking to a kid and I'm like, hey, you know who that is? That's actually my dad. And they're like, whoa, like it doesn't, it almost doesn't track that. Oh, they have parents. They have, you know.
I imagine from your perspective, Jamie, because I attended the, your promotion ceremony, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And obviously you had the opportunity to pin the badge on your son.
Yes.
I imagine that there's a lot of pride in that.
Tremendous.
But I also imagine there's a little bit of nervousness.
Nervousness?
In the sense that your son's about to go out and do police work.
I don't know.
Really?
Because I know him. We have a very functional, dysfunctional relationship. Because, you know, at work, we're employees.
Sure.
And at home, we're father and son. We share the same personality. And so it's, I trust him. I trust his decision making.
Nice.
It was just.
You're comfortable with it?
Yes, very much so. Wow. And he's very analytical. And when he makes the decision, he has thought it through, you know, very clear. And so, yeah, so as far as nervousness, no. Yeah.
Pride.
Yes, nothing but pride.
So wow. Now that y'all have been in it a while, how's mom feel about it?
Stressed. Absolutely stressed.
See, yep. I feel like I need to talk to mom. As a mother myself, I need to have those conversations with her so that I know how to navigate in the future, because I feel like this is coming for me, and I'm a little bit concerned. So,
she handles it well.
She does good.
Yeah, she does. Very good. Well.
Yep. My mother, I think I told the story before, my father, my brother, and I were all in law enforcement at one time, and now they're both retired, and I'm the holdout, and she's still nervous. One day I got to cut her a break, you know?
Yep.
So, Aaron, the question for you, sir, is if there's someone out there that has a parent on this police department, they're contemplating joining police work, right? They're thinking about, I don't know if I want to work with mom, I don't know what to work. What would you say to them?
I would say that if they already have a parent in law enforcement, they probably have a good idea of what to expect in law enforcement. I think that was one of the biggest benefits that I had when joining, was there's a whole bunch of positives with this job, but as we all know, there's a whole bunch of negatives as well. There's down times, you know, there's things that we really probably didn't expect to ever see in our life that we see almost every other day. But knowing that and expecting that actually helped me get through this job a lot easier. I would like to think, it made me understand what to expect, and having a parent who was law enforcement probably know what to expect. And if you're able to, or you think you might be able to go through it knowing what it is, then absolutely join. In fact, again, I had a wealth of knowledge that I could always call upon if I ever needed it. And that was also a great thing for me. So having a parent on the department, you know, there's a whole bunch of officers that I could call, but I know that even if it's middle of the night, he's asleep, he's going to answer my phone call because, you know,
he's there. He's your dad.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what happens one day when your child comes to you and says, hey, Pops, I want to talk to you about something. Thinking about joining the police department. What do you tell him?
Oh, man.
She was on the other foot there, Aaron.
Yeah.
We got to keep that tradition going, right?
Yeah. They can be whatever they want to be. That's going to be my answer. You know, again, there's always ups and downs with every job. Sure. This one just might see a bit more of them, but there's also a lot of rewarding things with this job. So if that's what they want to do, I'm all for it. I will fully support them and help them along the way.
Yeah, well, the rewarding things come in, obviously, in this job. One of the things you mentioned earlier, and that's the opportunity to meet with children.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that what an incredible opportunity to influence somebody, you know?
Exactly.
So, absolutely.
So, Elder Ewing.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of your hobbies. We're people, too. So, what kinds of things do you do in your off time?
God, a little bit of everything. I recently, the last 10 years or so, discovered woodworking. So, I slowly started putting together a little shop. And it comes in handy. Both my kids have bought houses, and you know, they needed a little minor repairs here and there. And it's nice to be able to pick up the tool bag and go over. And then other than that, we've gotten into this. I'm not even sure how we got into it, but transporting, rescuing, and fostering dogs.
Wow.
So we've become fostering, foster failures. We've even actually become a transport failure. So we went and picked up a dog and decided the dog didn't need to go where it was. It just needed to come home.
Failing forward, right? That's wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. And other than that, I'm involved with the Peninsula Regional Animal Shelter. I'm on a board, one of the board members that helps support the shelter, helps come up with ways to keep animals out of the shelter or get them to rescues.
Okay.
And
what about you, Aaron?
Well, a lot of my recent time has been dedicated to my son, who was recently born, and he's about 16 months now, and he is running and climbing and trying to get himself as hurt as possible whenever he can. So whenever I actually have downtime is I love reading. Different fantasy books, sci-fi books. I'm actually a huge nerd. I'm absolutely okay with saying that. I play some video games.
Right.
Whenever I have actually 5 minutes of quiet time, that's usually a trigger in my head of, something's going wrong with right. my son. He's getting into something.
Yeah. Now, you and I actually share an interest, and I know you and I do, Jamie, for leadership.
Yes.
Right. We want to learn leadership, continuous learning and leadership. And we've read some of the same books.
Yes.
And we're working on a project together, actually, which we're going to implement hopefully soon.
We are. Yep.
So, Jamie, something I'll tell you, I know we've worked together in the past and we've probably done some interesting things together in the past. But one of my fondest memories of working with you is actually seeing you take money out of your own pocket to feed somebody.
Mm.
That's what I remember. I can't remember the circumstances, but we came upon somebody who was hungry and didn't have any money, and you took it out of your own pocket and fed them. And I think that says a lot about your character.
I've done that several times.
So yeah.
I'm not even sure which.
Yeah, and that goes on a lot.
Which time he's referring to.
Yeah,
right?
But that's my memory of you is your character and the fact that you're willing to do something. And many, many law enforcement officers do that daily. So, Kelly, how are we doing on time?
Probably going to have to move to the next phase there.
What phase would that be, Melissa?
I feel like that's the rapid questions. Is that where we're going?
Yeah, we're going to do the rapid fire questions. Here we go. After you, Melissa.
You want to go first? Oh,
no,
you want me to go first?
After you, yeah.
Okay. All right. So in the world of sports, baseball, basketball, football, or hockey?
NASCAR.
He said none of the above.
None of the above. Okay.
I'm not really a sports person, but I actually like to watch baseball whenever I get a chance. So I don't have a favorite team or anything. I just like to watch.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I think you both like to eat, right?
Oh, yeah.
So here we go.
There we go.
Italian, Mexican, or Asian food? And why?
That's a tough one.
Mexican followed by Italian.
Okay. All right. You got an order of preference.
Yes.
It really depends on the day for me. I get into moods of what I want to eat sometimes, but right now it'd probably be Italian.
Okay, fair enough.
Pasta in the winter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Nothing beats.
My tour in Central America ruined me because before that I didn't like spicy foods. I got down there and I came back just like, okay.
Yeah, just, love it.
Just.
And we don't know spicy food here, do we?
No.
We do not. Not compared to South America. All right. Next one is coffee, tea, or soda?
Oh, coffee all the way. Soda. Absolutely. I work on midnight shift. Coffee is like water to me.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Vacation destination, beach, mountains, lake, or staycation?
I'm going for beach.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
We do mountain and beach. So we always, tradition is for our anniversary, which we're coming up on our 34th, we go to the mountains, and then the first 10 days of June, we spend at Myrtle Beach.
Wow. Yeah. Very nice. Okay.
All right. This one, it's the last one, but it's a little easier, a few less options. Are you an early bird or are you a night owl?
I don't know what that is. I guess I'm a night owl. I do kind of a weird thing where when I'm working, I work midnight shift. When I'm off, I go back to normal day shift hours. So on my weekend, I'm a early bird. I like to be up early and, you know.
Wow. So you adjust.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jamie?
Traditionally, I'm a night owl. That's what I liked working watch too so much. But here lately, day shift, I get up early and there's a magical point at night when I'm no longer awake. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm just no longer awake.
Fair enough.
Well, at least you know yourself.
Yes.
That's good.
And you've been doing it a while, so yes. You adjust as needed.
There you go.
Kelly, I think that brings us to the conclusion of another episode, right?
Yep.
All right.
A great Sounds episode. Good.
Well, we sure do appreciate y'all taking the time out of your day to be here. I know you work midnight shift, so are you going in tonight?
I am.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
I'll sign that slip if you need me to.
Oh, no, it's fine.
We're in Central together.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate y'all being here. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. Thank you to your wife for allowing you both to do it. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is probably, I think this is the first time I've ever served with a father and son who are both sergeants.
Yes. In fact, we were told that we were the first father-son on the promotion list, first father and son to test the same day.
Wow.
Unfortunately, we didn't get promoted on the same list. I got promoted one list before him.
Yep. Wow. So. Incredible. Melissa?
Thank you guys for coming and hanging out with us. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. It was a blast.
It really was.
All right. Appreciate the viewers. Remember, if you like this, hit that like button and subscribe, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Cheers, everyone.
See you guys.